Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today, Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, sits down with Mike Anakin, CEO at the McGee Women's Research Institute, and Charles Boo Haggerty, Chief Development Officer at the Hammett Health Foundation.
Welcome to a special edition of Barron Talks. And I say special because today we're doing something a little different. First of all, we're not broadcasting from my office in the Glen Hill Farmhouse. We are right here at the Hammett Health Foundation. And the reason for that is because of an announcement that we're making today that is very, very significant for the community. And we will get to that. But before I go any further, just let me introduce my two guests today. Mike Anakin, who is the CEO of the McGee Women's Research Institute. Welcome here, Mike.
Thanks, Rob.
And Boo Haggerty, president of the Hammett Health Foundation.
Welcome to our office, Ralph. We're glad to have you here and look forward to a great dialogue.
Well, I appreciate you having us down here. So, as I said, we are making an announcement today for a partnership that has been developing for well over a year now to bring to the Erie community the McGee Women's Research Institute, Erie. This is, I can't understate it, a huge development for the community. There's a lot to this, and I'd like us to go through all of the different facets of this today to understand what the impact is. Full disclosure, of course, Penn State Barron is a partnership, so I suppose I'm subject of this podcast today. But let's start out. So, Mike, why don't you tell us, you know, a bit about the history of McGee Women's Research Institute?
Sure. So McGee Women's Research Institute was started 26 years ago by Emma Gertzen, who was the president of McGee Women's Hospital at the time. And she wanted to start a research institute that focused solely on women's health issues and reproductive biology, because that's the community that they served. And so over time, while that was started with four scientists in the basement of the hospital, it's grown to the largest research institute in the United States that's focused on women's health and reproductive biology. We have over 370 faculty and staff, and we cover all things related to women's health issues, including pregnancy, as well as cancers, late stage diseases, diseases of the reproductive age women. So it's really, we encompass the entire gamut of issues.
So are there any particular areas of research where you've had the largest impact?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where we have impact in many different disease states and many different communities. The work we do not only impacts the women of Western Pennsylvania, but it also impacts women all across the globe. I'll give you an example. We have 11,000 women enrolled in our clinical trials in our HIV/AIDS study in Africa. We've impacted the spread of HIV/AIDS we've reduced it by 30% in those clinical trials. So we conduct studies all over the world. We've got partnerships on five continents in 14 countries, and hopefully we're making an impact in each of those communities as well as in the disease states that we cover.
It is significant, and I will tell you, when I went to your conference last year and I saw the research being done and just the stories of the women who spoke that evening, it was moving. It was impressive. And it's clear that you're having an impact on health. But it even extends well beyond health, too. You're improving the economy in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a great place to be, very vibrant right now. So what's your role in that?
We've generated about $400 million of outside research dollars that have come into the city through our research programs. And we're able to do that by bringing in dollars from the National Institutes of Health, from industry sponsorships or industry-sponsored research projects, those companies like Merck or Pfizer, or companies that are looking to move the needle in a certain disease state or move the needle in a particular community. They'll come to us knowing that we are the world leader in women's health, and they'll engage our scientists, and we'll help conduct studies for them, and we'll help do the research necessary to move that needle. We've also created partnerships with almost every academic institute in the country that wants to study women's health. Oftentimes, women's health portions of those organizations are small. Mm-hmm. And so if they're going to include that in a study, they'll come to us and we'll help facilitate that using our infrastructure and our expertise to help accelerate the process.
Now, the work that you do there as well. It turns, I'm sure some of it's commercialized. It turns into products. You work with UPMC and others to commercialize what you do in Carnegie Mellon. Are they all part of this?
We work with Carnegie Mellon. We work with University of Pittsburgh. We work with UPMC. Of course, our two largest partners are UPMC and the University of Pittsburgh. We filed 13 patents in the last 3 years. Hopefully those patents will take one of multiple commercialization pathways. We focus not only on our basic research in the labs, but also on clinical and translational research, which means that we're looking to translate those findings into impact in the community. And so we're always looking to do that. And oftentimes that will take on multiple forms, either through licensing agreements or straight out company formation.
And I like to always remind people, this is a long-term play.
Yes.
It doesn't happen overnight. Technologies and businesses, there are the stories that we all hear about the so-called unicorns, but the impact, it takes 5, 10, sometimes 20 years for these things to become a mature technology and even realize anything.
Yeah, and oftentimes with medical, in the life science space or the medical device space or in the drug development space, which is the spaces that we play in, you've got to get through the FDA process, which is a significant, timely process. And so it's not like, you know, generating technology that can get to market in 6 to 8 months. These are multi-year investments that we make.
Now, Boo, I didn't want to leave you out of this conversation, of course, but that's a great background on McGee Women's Research Institute. I'll just call it MWRI, maybe from here on out. But what we're announcing here today has multiple partners. It has McGee Women's Research Institute, UPMC, UPMC Hammett, the Hammett Health Foundation, Penn State Behrend. So our guest here today is Boo Haggerty. I'll get to it later. I think Boo is the linchpin in making all of this happen. You've just been a key to make this happen, and it's just been a pleasure to work with you. But why don't you tell us a bit about what the role is of Hammett Health Foundation in the community, and what are the interesting things UPMC is working on?
Yeah, right, sure. No, thanks, Ralph. And I think to go back a little bit, I think it's worth talking about 2011, where UPMC and Hammett affiliated, and that brought a great financial position to Hammett, which is not unimportant by any stretch. But it really raised the level of clinical care that we've been able to deliver here at UPMC Hammett. And specifically today, when we talk about women's health care, McGee Women's Hospital at UPMC Hammett is now home to many, many specialists who work out of McGee and Pittsburgh who come up and practice at UPMC Hammett. And quite frankly, they love working up here at this hospital. They love the community. They love the infrastructure of the hospital. They've really enjoyed the patients they've met from our region, which, you know, we're so proud of, but it's kind of new to them. But one of the things that happened is the surgeons came up here, the clinicians came up here, they really saw a vibrant healthcare community. Mm-hmm. They saw a vibrant university surrounding it. And just about 2 years ago, Dr. Bob Edwards, and Dr. Edwards is the director of all OBGYN services for UPMC, the system, practices up here quite a bit, works really closely with Mike down at MWRI. Mike and Dr. Edwards invited me down, and they really wanted to explore the idea of expansion. How can MWRI grow? They're doing great work in Pittsburgh, certainly, but to really grow globally, they want to expand, and could they expand here in the area? And they kind of laid out criteria for us. Could the Hammett Health Foundation, which is a separate 501c3, we're a foundation that certainly supports UPMC Hammett, but our primary goal is supporting mm-hmm. the healthcare of the community. And where does research fit into that? Well, it plays a very important role. So the question of me was, do you think Erie could raise a significant amount of money to build an infrastructure for research? That was the first question. The second question, could you find an academic partner who really saw the vision the way they saw the vision? And third, would UPMC Hammett, the leadership at UPMC Hammett, the medical staff, David Gibbons, our president, is it something that they want and they would embrace? And today is pretty historic in that we can check all those boxes. And none more important than the box with you. So I'll throw it back to you as the linchpin, Dr. Ford. You have been really integral in getting everybody excited in terms of what Penn State brought. So I'm going to now reverse the entire podcast and have you as our host talk about what you saw in this, because what clearly we saw was the advancement of healthcare, but also the advancement of academia and the advancement of our economy locally.
Well, thank you. And I mean, that's a that's just a great way to pose the story of how you got here. And I just love, I'll answer that question, but I love the fact that Dr. Bob Edwards came here. He loves the community. And he was key in saying, hey, how can we make something happen as well? So it just takes people with the seed of an idea. Yet we were, you know, we were very happy when you called us, I think just about a year ago, and said, you know, we've got this idea we'd like to talk to you about. We knew about the Erie Community Foundation Transformational Grants. We were thinking about it. I don't know that we had, you know, the idea formed yet that we thought could get us down that path. And then, just so the listeners know, what happened was you invited us to come down and see what you're doing. And you invited us to that conference that was going on, and we liked what we saw. My dean of research, Dr. Ivor Knight, who's been integral in this as well, he plays in this space, so to speak. He ran into researchers down there, world-class people. He was very impressed with what he saw. But to answer your question, you know, what we looked at, it, there are a few things that we've been trying to do. One is find strategic partnerships to move the Erie community forward. And these are always much larger than any individual institution, even institutions as large as ourselves. And I think that's something for us to dig into.
Yeah, that's great.
Things that happen like this now, they're always partnerships. I don't want to overstate it, but I haven't seen anything in all of my 25 years here that got me quite as excited about the opportunity to really change the economy and bring an economic sector that doesn't exist. We're growing in meds and eds. So we really like that part of it. I don't want to overstate that and say that in 5 years we're going to have 100 new tech companies here, but I think in 15, 20 years it will look very different. So we can look back to today to see that. So those were very important things in our decision-making process. And then I'll tell you where everything just lined up perfectly was Penn State has a capital fundraising campaign going on right now. And Penn State is very passionate about supporting economic development in the Commonwealth. So we were able to go to our president, President Barron, and get a significant amount of matching funds, $5 million for the project. And trust me, that wasn't easy, but it wasn't that hard. I mean, I think they saw the value. They understood it. And I'll add one more piece, and we'll keep coming back to this. For a number of years now, I gave a talk at the Jefferson several years ago, and I really hit home on this idea of research funding. And one of the things that concerns me about the Erie community is our per capita research funding is too low. And research funding is a bet on the future. And if you're not having companies and universities and organizations invest in research, you're probably not developing the products that are going to take you into the future. So long answer, but all those pieces came together. And then we started in the discussion. So we were really pleased and honored when you asked us to be the academic partner. And again, we are discussing a really significant announcement that we are making to bring McGee Women's Research Institute to Erie, Pennsylvania in a really great partnership with a lot of moving pieces. But one of the way this started as well, or one of the key pieces, was the local support, the community support. I would be remiss in not bringing up the fact that the Erie Community Foundation today is announcing a $6 million grant to start this. They have the Transformational Grant Program that has really kick-started this. So Mike and Boo, can you talk about how important that is, the local partnership?
Well, I think it's critical, Ralph. You know, one of the things that we talk about is understanding the needs of the community, and you can't do that from the ivory tower in Pittsburgh. And so what Bob and I talked about, and Bob being Dr. Edwards, was establishing the ability to create local solutions with local resources. And that's critical, because if you cannot implement the change that you're trying to make in those communities, then you haven't impacted anybody. And so we thought that Hammett would give us a good opportunity to do that. The relationship with UPMC was mature. It was a community that had significant needs for research dollars, right? And so we thought that the rest of the community would embrace the concept of bringing those dollars in. And it was, at the same time, a place where we knew that we had doctors and patients that would be committed to finding solutions that they could then implement up here in Erie. So for us, it was important, and the Erie Community Foundation realized that. They asked us to write a white paper on research and what that does, both economically and for the health of the community. We looked into that, we did that, and from the beginning, they were very focused on, if we can do this right, who will benefit the most from this and how do we make sure that that happens? And that's the Erie community. And so they've been focused on that from the beginning, and we're happy to be able to embed ourselves in that community mm-hmm. and create solutions that the community has a hand in developing.
And I would say a lot of credit to Erie Community Foundation and all the discussions we had with them. That was always front and center, is how is this going to impact the community? What's the importance? And that's their mission. That's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, and I couldn't agree more, the fact that, you know, Mike and Dr. Edwards and Ralph, yourself and myself, we had several meetings with the Community Foundation Board to have them really understand this, because research in and of itself is pretty complex. And to really understand, you know, the 25 plus year history of MWRI and to kind of show them and model what it would look like here was a challenge, mm-hmm. you know, without a doubt. But the physicians that Mike spoke about, they're the ones that got our board at the Hammett Health Foundation excited. So I think it's also important to note that when you mentioned going down to Pittsburgh, you know, Community Foundation leaders went, Hammett mm-hmm. Health Foundation leaders went, other leaders in the community went to see what Mike and his team have built at MWRI. Then all of a sudden you could kind of buy with your eyes to see what could be in that vision. And because of that, our foundation has committed $5 million to this. And that's a significant investment for a foundation that's only $26 million. It's a big investment. It is a big investment. But really it was a no-brainer because of what Mike just articulated, because how much it benefits our community. And that's not unimportant to us. The clinical trials that the physicians are going to be able to do additionally to what they're doing now really benefit the women in this community in ways that I think we're all still trying to wrap our heads about how beneficial it's going to be. But then throw in the fact that with Penn State and the PhDs that you bring to the table, with the MDs that, you know, UPMC brings to the table, and really these are some of the brightest minds in the country. And I think sometimes in Erie we sell ourselves a little short, but we have mm-hmm. some very bright minds. You know, Mike talks about the fact we had to build the infrastructure. The money is there to now do that. So we go build the infrastructure. And now I think the vision has to be, to your point, you know, the translational research that can come out of this is one thing. But the fact that, you know, the next epidemic in Africa that we don't even know what it is 5 years from now could actually have a source for a cure at MWRI Erie, that excited our board, mm-hmm. that excited me. And that's the thing that I really think is important. The community understands that, yes, this is very beneficial to your community, but this is going to have national and global impact. And that's really, really exciting to be part of that.
You brought up a couple points, and one that I keep making too, and this will help us at Penn State a lot, is attracting world-class talent to Erie, Pennsylvania. Right. That is so important. That's the whole play. We're in a global, you know, it's a global war for talent, so to speak. Communities grow based on the talent that they can attract now. And that's what the whole, you know, with the EDDC, everything that's going on in Erie, when you get to the bottom of it, in my opinion, a lot of that is about bringing in new people, fresh blood, who are, you know, we like people to come back into Erie who grew up in this community, absolutely. But we've got to change and bring in a lot more outside people. Yeah. So I think that's really important.
I have to say that I think that was really alluring to the Erie Community Foundation as well. They saw that and they got that. And economic development is important to a community for sure.
Now, Mike, one of the things that you said was community input is really important to figure out what problems you look at, how you work with the community. So this is day one of the startup now. Moving forward, how do you do that? How do you get that voice? How do you get the input from the community?
That's a great question, Ralph. And, you know, to this point, and we talked about this having been a year-long project, we've had lots of input. We've engaged the doctors at Hammett Hospital. We've engaged some of the community leaders that understand what the disease states that are present here in Erie that may be a little bit higher than they should be or a little bit higher than in other parts of the country. But now I think we start talking to the Erie community itself, right? It's like building a product. You never exactly know how that product's going to perform mm-hmm. in the market until it's in the market, and then you tweak it as such. So as we begin to build our infrastructure here and recruit physicians and researchers from outside the community will be able to leverage their expertise and better understand how the community will want them to respond and react to their needs. And so I think it's a conversation. I think you start the conversation now, and every conversation we have really starts with local, national, and worldwide impact in that order. Mm-hmm. And while we talk about clinical care being regionalized, it's really a research focus that allows us to expand our efforts beyond regional care. So we will start with regional impact, and then we will see how we can take that regional impact to other locations that are very similar to yours. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think just to expand on that, you know, we'll have an advisory board for this very reason that you just brought up, Ralph, and Mike will chair that advisory board, bring his expertise and the expertise of his team. And that's, again, another beauty of that. We're not building something from scratch. We have a model that's battle-tested and foolproof, so we're going to be able to use that model. We have, you know, again, Penn State's expertise. I think you've mentioned this. We have pedigree. We have great brands here mm-hmm. coming together. But we will have an advisory board made up of community members to help guide and shape some of the conversation. And our foundation board, the Geary Community Foundation board, and I really think the board of MWRI down in Pittsburgh all understood, you know, very specifically that this will be localized to a certain extent to make sure that we're delivering the best levels of care to the members of our community.
And the one point you made too is that MWRI is an established entity, and that's the point I've been making to everybody in the community, is that you have the ability to scale this. So we're not starting from ground zero. You're taking the expertise you've built over 26 years. I'm not saying it's trivial. You'll find the problems that you're here in the community. We're working with you. There'll be bumps along the way, no doubt. But where I feel really confident is you'll bring in people who know how to bring in the funding. This will become a self-sustaining effort. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, I think when you look at research is not a profit center for hospitals, but it provides tremendous impact for those communities. So we'll always be out fundraising to fill the gaps for research. That's what we do now in Pittsburgh. We'll continue to do that up here in Erie. But to your point about bringing in the right people, we've already appointed Dr. Helena Szczesinski as the director of OBGYN here at Hammett Hospital, McGee Women's in Hammett. And she brings world-class research leadership to Hammett. And she will lead the efforts to create clinical trials and create research portfolio that really aligns with the needs of the Erie community. So right out of the gates, we were able to use this as a tool to bring in a world-class talent into the Erie community.
I'm sure we're fortunate to have her here already.
Yeah.
Well, let's take that one step further, though, in that, so she's here, but physically, you know, everyone's interested in where's it going to be, what's the space look like? We all had these discussions, and we can talk about the Penn State side of it, but tell people, where's this going to be located? How's it going to start?
Yeah, you're trying to start an argument with Mike and I right now.
Yeah, I am, right?
No. We have great vision in the very immediate to use space right inside the women's hospital. So there's about 3,500 square feet of shell space in the women's hospital. Remember, that's only a 10-year-old building. So we have space dedicated, and it's been dedicated, you know, or it's been thought of as what do we do with this space moving forward? And research was something that was always on our mind. So this is a way to be able to do that. So we'll have 3,500 square feet dedicated to research right inside our building. And the construction will start on that immediately. But at the level it grows will determine whether we move out and off campus, contiguous to campus, but, you know, to build, you know, additional square footage. Mike, I think I always use your analogy is where did this start at McGee, right? In mm-hmm. a basement.
In a basement.
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's a smart way. You know, you don't need to put a lot of money into bricks and mortar. People like that. They see it. But there's no need to do that. This is about the people, and it's about the research. So if you have the space, retrofit it and get it up and running.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and if you have physicians and PhDs adding research and bringing research, and some of these NIH grants funnel their way into this community, and we have to grow, that's to Mike's point that we'll continue to raise money, we'll continue to grow, and we'll continue to make this work as the community sees it needing to grow. So I guess I will flip on you, Dr. Ford, and now act as host, because I think your listeners should really know the impact that Penn State and Penn State Barron brought to this, and really the credibility you gave to the project to the funders, quite frankly. And you know, without that, we're not having this conversation today. So really talk about a little bit more the vision that you had, how you saw this coming together, why you thought it was worth, you know, going to talk to, you know, the leadership at Penn State, and why you think this has great impact for Penn State Barron moving forward.
Well, as you know, we've got really strong engineering programs, sciences, and we're known there. But as we've looked the last several years, we've known that we need to get more into life sciences, more into bioengineering. And we've got some expertise there. So this gave us an opportunity that came along that really fit with what we knew we had to, or a direction that we had to move into. And I can't understate how it's going to impact our hiring and our thought process over the next 5 years, and then if things are successful, obviously well into the future. So let me just kind of get to the physical, you know, what's really coming out of it from our perspective. What do I get to build? You know, I'm an engineer. We get to create new academic programs that will attract students. Students who will then hopefully stay in the community, and they'll be working in the labs with you. They'll be helping your researchers. They'll be developing new products. So, for example, biomolecular biology is an area that we're going to add. We are going to add biochemistry, and we are going to add bioengineering. That's for sure three minors that we will start within the next year, all due to this project. We wouldn't have done it otherwise. There's more to come in that space in the future. So we're trying to figure out what that roadmap looks like for us. Hiring. So we are rearranging, we're aligning our new hires. We go through a process where we hire people, whether we're, you know, staying flat, growing, or shrinking even a little bit, because there's always some turnover. People are retiring, transition. So that gives you an opportunity to take and say, we're going to hire people and align them with what we're doing here. And we're doing that in a way that I haven't seen us do at Barron before. So for example, as I told you last week in our weekly phone call that we have, we're going to take two brand new biology positions, and we're saying, come to Erie, be part of Penn State, but also in the ad is going to say, be part of what's going on with McGee Women's Research Institute. And our expectation is, within several years, you're a significant player with your research that between Penn State and McGee Women's Research Institute. So that's, you know, the typical cluster hire, as they like to call it, in academia. So we're moving in that direction. There will be more on the engineering side as we move forward. Now, from a physical space, we have wanted to upgrade our life sciences laboratories and equipment. This gives us the funding to do that through the money that comes in today, through the fundraising that we're doing separately, through, you know, matching that I can am able to get through Penn State University. So that's significant. Obviously, it impacts our students' lives in a very, very real way. So we're going to create a laboratory in our knowledge park called the Biomedical Commercialization and Translational Research Lab. Maybe we'll find a better name, but it speaks to what we're trying to do there. And what we want to see is everyone who's associated with this initiative on campus finding that as a home. But not only that, as we said, we'd like a little space for them down here, even if it's, you know, some bench space. We don't need a lot. The expectation is that people will go back and forth. It's that flow of ideas. Campus isn't far away. We're 7 miles from downtown Erie. But we really want a flow between our campus and what's happening down here on the UPMC campus with McGee Women's Research Institute.
It's really a win-win for your students, for our patients, for, you know, our employees of Hammett and McGee, but obviously, you know, your faculty at Penn State Barron. At no time did we ever have any conversations about a downside to this. It was always, you know, move forward as fast as we can.
No, this has really been a good process, and I think all of the partners, we've just worked well together. You know, Ivor Knight, my dean of research, he did say this has been amazing in his experience to see something this complicated move forward with everybody just constantly on the same page. Whenever there was a barrier, we all just, I would say, hunkered down and we moved past it. I love that stuff. I mean, that's the stuff that is fun in our lives, that where we can make a difference and bring something like this to life. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our show today. I thank both of you gentlemen for reference for our listening audience. We are now on our way over to the Erie Community Foundation to make this great announcement. And it's been a pleasure, and we look forward to a great future together, guys.
Thank you very much. We're calling it an historic day for Erie, so we're all proud to be a part of it.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSC. Join us again on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight with Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron.